With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's EvoStick NPL show. I'm your host, Ben, sitting here, and as you can all hear, I'm la 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 la. No sore throat this week, everybody. Isn't that great? And down the other end of the phone, you're not poorly, are you, James? You're all right, aren't you?
I'm just recovering from a sore head.
Good. In fine fettle down the other end of the phone, it's Mr. James Hayes, social media officer for the league. Hello, James. How are they?
Evening, Ben. How are you doing?
I'm all good. So, How was the do?
It's quite the same as usual. Fantastic night for everyone there. And I think, obviously, for the clubs that have been there for the first time, because there's quite a lot I've never been to the awards in the past.
We're stunned.
You can see what sort of show we put on. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, you're James. that kind of stunned. Anyway, we have got interviews with some of the award winners from last weekend's do. We've got how many interviews did you do? You did about six interviews, didn't you? Well, they're coming up on this week's show. Adam Laitland will be joining us on this week's show. We're also going to be hearing from Paul Carden at Warrington. And we're going to hear from one of the managers at South Shields. Because it's a title race, we're going to have them all on now, all three clubs, I feel. I think that's fair. It's the only way to deal with it, isn't it, I suppose? Cause...
Well, we had out a three-horse race now, officially, so...
Yep, Nantwich Town can no longer win the league. Can they still be caught? I mean, it's 8 points, isn't it, still, for Nantwich Town. We might as well start with Nantwich Town. We'll come to the title race shortly, but the relegation picture is close to... It's not far off being sorted at the moment. It's been, for Workington Town, not the best of weekends for Workington. Firstly, Nantwich Town 2, Michelover Sports 3. A great result there for John McGrath's side. And it actually sees them now lifted 4 points clear of the relegation zone. That's because Bamber Bridge were beaten 4-2 by Scarborough and Workington were beaten by Witton Albion by 2-0. That's a great weekend for John McGrath. Not necessarily a good weekend for Bamber Bridge or Workington, James.
No, I mean, like I say, it puts Workington right at the cusp now. The wrong results this week and Workington could get relegated, actually. Bamber Bridge as well. I've obviously seen the highlights there. Fantastic goals. Stafford Rangers starting to get slowly crept back in at this moment too. It's going to be very, very exciting for the last race, but Workington, it is literally last saloon now.
Right, so what we're looking at here, because obviously Workington were beaten on Tuesday night as well by South Shields, so the game's in hand. They've got one game in hand left. And they're 8 points behind Michelover Sports. So
if Workington lose on Saturday and Stafford and Michelover pick up wins themselves, that's it. They've gone.
And that's your maths that's based upon?
That's my maths backed up by a spreadsheet I've got.
You told me last week for the East-West show that Morpeth could win the league. You told me that last week. And then you text me after I recorded the show and put it out there that wasn't true. And now look at me, James, I'm a laughing stock.
This is why I've set up a spreadsheet and double checked it. Right. It can't officially happen this week.
Here we go, everyone. If you're a Workington fan, or a Michelover Sports fan or a Stafford fan, and involved in this calculation that James has made, please do take it with a big pinch of salt and do your own calculations at home. It'd be good for your brain anyway to do that kind of exercise. Anyway, best of luck then to Workington, but a great result, a great week for Michelover Sports. Should say they had a 0-0 draw midweek as well with Witton Albion. So that's where we are. For Stafford Rangers, as James said, Stafford Rangers not completely out of it themselves, but it's getting a bit more comfortable as the games and the weeks pass by. No game for Stafford Rangers on Saturday and a 2-1 defeat on Tuesday night, but that was at Throstle's Nest against Farsley Celtic, so that's probably to be expected. But now Stafford Rangers and Michelover Sports both on 37 points, 4 points clear of the relegation zone. Marine are 5 points clear of the relegation zone. They were beaten 2-1 by Whitby on Saturday, and they're also beaten 3-1 on Tuesday night at home to Matlock Town as well. Matlock Town ending the week on a bit of a high there. And I think I'm going to actually stop there talking about the relegation teams. Or should I go down as far as Stalybridge? Stalybridge Celtic 0, Basford United 2, a full-time result there at Bower Fold. Stalybridge Celtic now 6 points above the relegation zone. Grantham Town, we had Grantham on last week. Obviously, they had a credible 1-1 draw with Lancaster City on Saturday. And they're just clocking up the points, aren't they, James, and getting themselves out of this?
Yeah, I mean, relegation-wise now, I think Stalybridge and below are the real teams that you got to watch out. But even still, realistically speaking, it's between Stafford Mickleover and Bamber Bridge at this moment in time. If Workington can't get a late revival going on.
Well, let's talk about the top end, let's talk about the title race. Farsley Celtic with a 2-1 win over Buxton on Saturday. Great result, that one. And Farsley Celtic, a 2-1 win over Stafford Rangers. Farsley Celtic currently sitting top dog up at the top of the league, 1 point clear of South Shields and 4 points clear of Warrington Town. As I said earlier, we will be getting on South Shields and Warrington on this week's show, but it's now time for a little catch-up now. Here's Adam Laitland. So, Adam, a big thank you for joining us. Two excellent results this week and, currently top of the pile. What's the mood like at the club?
Yeah, the mood's great. We're obviously thinking the business end of the season now, and all along it's been our intention to be in the mix come the final few weeks of the season, and we're certainly well and truly in it, and we're enjoying the position that we're in, but we know that we've got a lot of hard work yet to do if we're going to stay there come the end of the month.
And those two wins this past week, six games unbeaten now in the league, pretty relentless stuff as well. I mean, how do you ensure that good run keeps going?
I think it's just keeping focused really and not looking too far ahead. I mean, I've said it to you numerous times when we've spoken throughout the season that we tend to just focus on one game at a time, and that's generally all that we've done. We don't look too far ahead. We try and keep the players focused on the next game. And, they've dealt ever so well with that. I mean, our form, it has been incredible, really. I think we've won 11 of our last 13 league games, which is a fantastic run. And probably on any other given season, we'd be way clear of the people below us. But ourselves and South Shields and Warrington, I think credit's got to go to all three clubs for being so consistent throughout the course of the season so far. And hopefully it can be us that can come out at the top of that three-way mini league that it's going to be for the remaining weeks.
I mean, you're bob on what you're saying there. I mean, it has been a cracking shootout between all three of you, and there isn't much separating all three of you, in all fairness, when it comes to points on the board and form and that kind of thing. Your defensive records are pretty on par as well. Obviously, you're not going to be interested in me reading out what the remaining fixtures are of the season, but this week, because as you said, one game at a time and all that, but this weekend, Grantham Town away. That's a tricky game now, because Grantham, the nerves are starting to be relieved a bit for Grantham as the weeks progress. So how are you going to tackle this one?
Well, we know it's a tough game. Every game's tough. Grantham's always a difficult place to go. It's a big open pitch, and obviously the running track around the outside. Every time I've been there previously, it's always been blowing a gale. And although I have to say we are used to the wind playing up at Farsley. We expect a very difficult game. They're a big, strong, physical, powerful side, very direct. The lad up the top causes you a lot of problems, and they've got good mobility and legs joining in off in. And certainly from set plays, long throws, they're going to cause us threats. But, every team in the division has got strengths, and will have different ways in which they'll cause you problems. Equally, I believe every team in the division, has got areas of weakness, and But ultimately, you know, going into every game, you're trying to expose the opposition's weaknesses, and you're trying to reduce the effect that they will pose you within the game. And you know, we've done our homework on Grantham. We're well aware that it's a tough game. You know, we'll be as well prepared as we can be, and hopefully the players can deliver on the day.
League awards last week, player of the year for the Premier Division. He's been a bit of a goal scoring machine this season, as James Spencer, hasn't he?
Well, he has. I mean, you know, he's obviously scored, you know, his fair share of goals, which really, if you look at the goal scoring table, he doesn't take penalties, and everybody else up around him does. You know, I think if he'd have taken penalties as well, then he'd be way clear of the pack, providing he scored them, of course. But, you know, he lost quite a few goals as well from the goals being taken from North Ferriby. So that obviously affected where he was in the table. But it's his all-round play, you know. For me, it's warranted. He's the best player in the division. You know, he's strong, he's got a great touch, he's got a good imagination, you know, he puts himself about. He's been fantastic for us all season, and, you know, you don't always see that for lads who've dropped into non-league football from the full-time game to go and make that impact, as he has immediately. It's testament to his character and his personality, really, and how he's kind of, you know, bought into what we are as a club and what we wanted to achieve this season. So, you know, I'm delighted for him personally, and also, you know, Will Ayers getting in the team of the year. We had Nathan Carman, Dave Sayers, Jack Higgins, who were acknowledged in the media team of the year. So, you know, I'm glad that, you know, individuals have been acknowledged for their efforts this season, and hopefully they can keep that form going now in the remaining fixtures.
Adam Laitland, Fazer's Celtic manager. So we should say we've got a fixture preview coming up shortly with Thomas Fina, a non-league reporter from that side of the Pennines where Fazer's Celtic are. Fazer got a away trip to Grantham this weekend. For South Shields, we mentioned the 2-0 win for South Shields midweek against Workington. Good result, that one, on the road for the North East club. That also followed a great result at home. South Shields 4, Hensford Town 1. So a good week there for South Shields. As we said earlier, 1 point behind Fazer's Celtic. So let's hear now from the management team at South Shields. Here's Lee Picton.
Oh, very, really positive, Ben. You know, we're on a really strong run of form ourselves. Four games to go. We feel at this end, if we can continue to, you know, to churn out the performances that we have been recently, then we've got, you know, a really good chance of picking up close to maximum points in those last four games, and you know, obviously only time will tell as to how the other two teams at the top get on.
I mean, that win against Workington on the road, I think, was particularly good because, you know, they were fighting for their lives, and still are as well, but it's now six straight wins, eight games unbeaten. I mean, it's been quite a marauding run that South Shields have been on since we last spoke.
Yeah, no, it has, unfortunately. The same could be said of Fazer's Celtic and Warrington, and that's the only problem, really. One thing I will say is that, you know, the last three, four games, we've been winning them by, you know, two-goal, three-goal margins, which is, you know, even more impressive considering the time of year that it is and the pressure that we're under at this end. So we are playing well. Tuesday night's game against Workington was a real test for us because it was a different kind of game. We had to show a different side of ourselves, and we certainly did that. We came through that with flying colours on Tuesday. We'll be back at home tomorrow, and we're looking forward to another big crowd at our place.
Absolutely. It's Basford United tomorrow, and Basford, it'll be a push, but they're not completely out of the playoff race, so they have got something to play for, but I don't think that really matters either, because I think if you're playing against teams that don't have something to play for, they're worse because they've got no nerves at all.
Absolutely, you know, no pressure on those kind of sides. I mean, everybody's always got something to play for in my mind, in so much as, you know, players are either playing for contracts or playing for places at their clubs ahead of next season. when you get to this time of year, there's usually quite a few clubs who have, you know, new management teams in place, you know, Basford being one of them. And, you know, players will undoubtedly be trying to prove a point. So we know, you know, given their goal scoring record this season, that Basford carry, you know, a sizable attacking threat. We've just got to make sure that we continue to show the defensive qualities that we've shown recently, and we're confident that with our own attacking threats that we can come out on top.
And like you say, a big crowd expected at this one as well. I mean, the club's been pushing the social media side of this because that's what's needed now, isn't it? A big roar there at Mariners Park.
Yeah, we kind of need the crowd more than ever now. Two home games to go. And if we can get maximum points, then if Farsley go through the season, you know, picking up maximum points themselves, then I guess we can say fair play to Farsley. But we've got to focus on what we're doing, and you know, 3 points is a must tomorrow. It really is.
And I suppose as well, I mean, not you should be thinking like this, but, you know, as high as you can get, that's also important, because the home form this season has been exceptional, hasn't it? And if you can,
it has.
And the you probably not even thought about this, but there's going to be a playoff final, isn't there? And if you could get someone like Stourbridge back to the northeast, then that's just going to make it even better. So it's win-win at the moment. Get the league title, and if not, get home advantage.
Yes, without a doubt. You know, nobody's trying to hide the fact that, you know, we are a stronger side, or a more potent side at home than we have been away this season. There's obviously a really, you know, obvious and good reason for that. We're very, very lucky at our end to have a top playing surface that we try to use to its full, you know, to the maximum in terms of the way that we play. So if we do fall short in the title race, then that could well be really, really important. You know, so if we don't finish top, then we've got to try and finish second if humanly possible.
And just before you go, obviously the player awards took place last week in Barnsley, and Robert Briggs getting in the starting team of the year for the Premier Division. Not bad at all for Robert this season.
Fantastic for Robert. If you think, you know, he's one of only, I think, two players at the football club who's been on this whole journey since Jeff Thompson took over at the football club. You know, the last four seasons, Robert's been there since day one, and he's never really played, you know, for any length of time anyway at this level of football. So I think the fact that he's come through and become an ever present in our side shows the improvements that he's made, and you know, that's down to the hard work and you know, all the qualities that Robert's got, and it's thoroughly, thoroughly deserved the reward that he got in the award, being in the team of the season.
South Shields, as we were discussing there, this weekend South Shields will be hosting Basford United. So a tough weekend, actually, because Farsley travelling to Grantham, South Shields hosting Basford United. Warrington, though, got Scarborough this weekend, and Warrington are just on the periphery now of the title race. They are putting the miles in, though. Warrington Town 1, Whitby Town 0 was a result on Tuesday night, and that followed up a result from Saturday, which finished Matlock Town 0, Warrington Town 2. Warrington Town 4 points off league leaders Farsley Celtic. Let's hear now what Paul Carden has to say. Here he is speaking to me on Friday.
Confidence is high. You know, with such a short time to go till the end of the season, but with everything still to play for, you know, it's good. It's exciting. It's where we want to be, and you know, the lads are in good spirits, to be honest.
And what's your take on where Warrington are at the moment? Like you say, you've got there's 4 games left of the season, any slip up at this stage for anybody could be fatal. But I suppose that makes it more exciting in a weird way.
Yeah, I mean, at the beginning of the season, if you'd have said we'd have been 4 points off the top, you know, with a couple of weekends left, I'd have snapped anyone's hands off. You know, it was always our aim to try and get in the playoffs if we could, you know, as much as you're ambitious. You know, the what happened in the summer with cuts and losing so many players, that was always the, you know, if we could make the playoffs, we'd have had a really good season. But to be where we are, the lads have done fantastic. You know, and credit to them, it's been a really you know, really positive season for everybody. You know, we've had individual awards at the Player of the Year too. We've had, you know, a lot of interest in some of our younger players, clubs coming from higher levels to watch them. And, you know, it's just been a really good season, and hopefully we can finish it on an even better note.
I mean, you mentioned the awards there. We should mention Mark and David, really, because as a defensive unit this season, Warrington's been pretty exceptional, really. Only 30 goals conceded in 36 games. The defence has been especially good this season.
Yeah, we were pretty mean last season, but I think this season they've took it to another level, and the type of players they are, the type of characters they are, have made that happen. You know, 34 and 35 year old Dave and Mark. Dave's 34, Mark's 35. But their experience and the professionalism that they brought into the dressing room, they're not ranting of neighbours. They're educated lads. They're calculated in how they approach things. You know, they've settled some of the younger lads down at times when it's needed to be done. And I remember reading Alex Ferguson's book, and he said the best thing about his teams was he knew he had managers on the pitch playing. And, you know, I've such fortunate that I've been able to sign them two at the same time, and they're both in the team. And as I say, they've been managing the team on the pitch for us. So, can't give them enough praise. They've been exceptional.
I'm 35 now. I couldn't run around like Mark Roberts could then. Clearly, ridiculous at that age playing football. Anyway, this weekend then, have you looked at the games to come, or are you going to be one of those managers that says one game at a time, and in particular this weekend's big game against Scarborough?
Well, that's all we can do, and it sounds like you know, you're ducking the question, or you're trying to be sort of a little bit reserved in what you're wanting. But we can only win our game. We can't ask for other teams to beat either South Shields or Farsley or anybody else for that matter. We can only beat who we're playing and who's in front of us. So that's all we'd be focusing on. And I mean, when people say to me, standing next to the dugout, oh, they've scored there, or they've scored, I'd not really want to know, because if I'm a better man, I'm back in Farsley and South in all their games. So it doesn't matter. We've just got to focus on ourselves, and whatever happens will happen.
Now, therefore, I'm going to say what I said to Adam, really. I'm not going to tell you what you've got coming up then towards the end of the month, but it is Scarborough this weekend, and there are no easy games in this division, but you're playing against teams that have also got something to play for as well, and that makes it kind of weird, really. It's a bit like a lottery, because you don't know what you're going to get from the opposition at this stage of the season, because there's so much to play for.
Well, I know one thing's for sure: the new manager at Scarborough won't be lying down and you know, letting his team, you know, do whatever he wants. You know, we'll have had them drilled. We had them watch last week. They're playing. They're looking to play more football than they were previously. They're more attack-minded. You know, the report we had from Bamber Bridge is that they were very, very gung-ho, if you like. So we know we're going to have to be on our guard, because the attacking players that they've got are all quality players. So we just need to be on our guard, make sure we play to our strengths, nullify theirs, and hopefully we have more players perform on the day than they do. You know, and that's all it is, because like you say, there isn't an easy game from top to bottom. So we just need to make sure we're on it. We've been in good form recently, playing well, not just getting results, which is important. So, more of that hopefully to come.
Paul Carden there, manager at Warrington Town. Obviously, we've talked about Nantwich Town. Nantwich Town sitting in fourth, 14 points behind Farsley Celtic. They can't win the league now, and they're 8 points clear of Gainsborough Trinity. So they're in the playoffs. They're 10 points behind Warrington. So they're in the playoffs in fourth, is what we're saying, aren't we, James? I think that's the same bet. Not that we're encouraging anyone to gamble on football, but I think that's safe now. But we will be hearing from Dave Cook in later shows. Gainsborough Trinity, 58 points. Now back in the playoffs. That follows a 1-0 win over Hyde United on Saturday, combined with Buxton being beaten by Farsley Celtic. Both teams, Buxton and Gainsborough, on 58 points, having played 36 games. Buxton travel to Marine this weekend. Gainsborough, as we discussed earlier, will be travelling to Workington. So a big weekend to come. And at that point, that's almost it. However, Scarborough Athletic have put themselves back in this playoff race. A 4-2 win away at Bamber Bridge last weekend. Let's hear now from the new manager at the club, is John Deechy. So, John, a big thank you for joining us, and congratulations on your appointment at Scarborough. And not a bad weekend just gone with that win over Bamber Bridge.
Not quite as easy as it looked, to be fair, because Bamber Bridge played very well in the first half and could have easily gone in with a lead where we was looking to take a 1-0 lead.
I mean, what's your assessment now? Because obviously, when you came into the club, it was looking like the playoffs were starting to slip away a bit. But with that result and with what's gone on in the last 7 days or so with Gainsborough and Buxton, the gap is now only 3 points. So what's your take on the playoff race all of a sudden?
No chance, if I want honest truth. So we've got by far the most difficult run in. But you never say no, do you? When it's mathematically impossible, then you can give up. While you've still got a chance, you've still got to believe in it. But it's very, very difficult. A very slim chance.
I mean, earlier I was speaking to Adam Lakeland at Farsley, and Farsley are travelling to Grantham Town this weekend, and Grantham they're starting to move themselves away from the relegation zone. The pressure's off somewhat, and those are, you know, really difficult games. However, you've got Warrington, so you're the banana skin for Warrington. It's kind of like a different dynamic, isn't it? I know the tough
it
games
is.
On
I
paper.
I think I've just told the players to relax and enjoy it, and that's the honest truth. That's what I've told them to do. You know, just relax and enjoy it. You know, they've got no pressure on them. So hopefully they can do that.
And what's your assessment on Scarborough Athletic as a club? I mean, your non-league pedigree speaks for itself, and Scarborough's it's a big club at this level, and obviously
yeah, very big. It's got really many things that I really wanted to come back and do. But a club like Scarborough was a great attraction, and they've got so much potential. They're building a brand new 800-seat stand in the summer. They've got a great fan base and great potential. So that's what really attracted me to come back into non-league football. The club itself and the board, you know, the fan base things is, you know, they're excellent.
And the squad's not bad either, is it? That we should say at this stage, congratulations to Michael Coulson, who made the Premier Division Select 11. But there's a fair bit of quality there, isn't there?
Yeah, it's steady away squad. You know, it's something that you can work on. So you know, there's some decent players in there. I laughed at what I said to the lads when I came in. I said everybody's on a level playing field, and I've got to assess the squad. To see what you're going to keep and what you're going to bring in for next season. So, you know, that's exactly how it is, and that's how I will approach it.
I mean, it's an interesting job that you've taken on at this stage of the season, because like we said, Scarborough were at the top for the first part of the season, and then it's slowly, for whatever reason, it's you know, that you find yourselves down in seventh. But, you know, like you say, there's 4 games left of the season, and I don't mean to use a cliche, John, but it's 4 cup finals, essentially. So it's tantalising, isn't it?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, I didn't choose to, there was nothing to do with me. You know, when they chose to, you know, get rid of Steve, it was, I've just taken the opportunity, and hopefully we can give a good account of ourselves in these next 4 games. It was just, you know, it's just short, it's quite short notice to get used to the squad and things like that. But, you know, they've trained very well, and they've adapted very well in the first game, and hopefully... And much, you know, we've got a very, very stiff test against Warrington on Saturday, and hopefully they can get a good account of themselves.
And excited, obviously you're excited for the running, but also excited for the close season when you can really get your teeth stuck into it all?
Yeah, very much so. I think it's, you know, whatever happens this season is a bonus. and then we've got to concentrate on the pre-season, you know, to build a squad that's going to challenge. But whatever league they're in, you know, most likely it'll be the Evo Stick Premier.
So Scarborough, 3 points behind the playoffs, James. That's become interesting all of a sudden, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the main fact there is now is that Nantwich and the teams in the playoff race can't fight for home playoff advantage anymore because that's out of the picture for them too. So Nantwich, there's a feeling there Nantwich could start playing it safe now. They only need a point to secure their own playoff spot and obviously give themselves a bit of a break. So they're going to be dangerous going into the playoffs just on that fact alone. So it's now down to the fact you've got Gainsborough, Bucks and Scarborough, and on an outside chance, Basford United. Let's not rule them out just yet. But again, results go there against them this weekend. They're out of the playoff picture too.
That's remarkable, isn't it? Because they're only 5 points behind the playoffs at the moment. So they're not too far away. But we are running out of games now, aren't we? We've only got 4 games left for much of these sides. In Nantwich's case, it's only 3 games left. So we are getting down to it, aren't we?
Seemed very positive about speaking to one or two of the players at the awards the other night ago. And don't rule Basford out just yet. Could have a big say at this moment in time.
Well, we'll have a fixture preview shortly with Thomas Fina, non-league reporter from Yorkshire. But you mentioned the awards. Let's have our interviews now that James conducted on Sunday evening in Barnsley. A great evening was had by all. Unfortunately, I couldn't be there because I had other commitments. It's a busy life. James was there and roving reporter with his microphone, shoving it in people's faces, going, "Talk, I want answers." The first person he caught up with was Dave Carson, who won Player of the Year for the East Division, one of the stars of the Champions Elect. They haven't won the league yet, James. I don't care what
you say. They can on a Saturday. I don't believe you. Not having it.
Morpeth Town. So let's see what Dave Carson had to say.
Yes, very quickly with David Carson, winner of the East Division Player of the Year. First of all, congratulations. And obviously, first time in East Division at the same time, I believe. Your thoughts on the night? Obviously, not just that, picking up the place in the team.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's been a great night. I mean, personally, delighted, but going on, it's a team game. I mean, we've got a big week coming ahead. We've got a cup final. We've got a chance to win the league on Saturday. So personally, a great night. But looking forward, we need to make sure we continue winning these games and get these trophies that we need at the end of the season.
I mean, obviously, your media guy, your Twitter, everything's been quite excited, especially speaking to himself this week as well. Obviously, first season in this league at the same time. How have you found that jump coming from like the Northern League, which we know is a strong league anyway, into coming to the our divisions?
I mean, I think a lot of players doubted themselves. I mean, we didn't know at the end of last season whether players were going to step up. The travelling, the family wise, I think when we stepped up, the away trips have helped us massively. People stay together, so we're there. If anything, we've built a good bond together. Away trips have helped us massively. Won a lot of games on the road, and I think to be honest, the bond in the team has been tremendous. So delighted with how far it's gone. We just need to finish it off.
Yeah. And very quickly as well, obviously looking forward to say if it happens on Saturday, obviously against Pontycrats, looking forward to the June with step three next year.
It's another step. I mean, did we expect to be there this season? Possibly not, but it just proves the squad that we've got. I think we've got a big squad, so I'm looking forward to it on Saturday. It'll be a massive, massive game, and hopefully we'll have a big crowd and we'll seal the deal, so I'm looking forward to it.
Dave Carson there, winner of Player of the Year for Division East, and apparently they can win the league on Saturday, James, Morpeth Town. Who knew?
It is official this week. If they beat Pontycrats, they have won the league. There's no other way around it. So
okay, right. Let's we heard from the East winner there. Let's hear from the Player of the Year for the West Division. Here's Ben Hardcastle from Atherton Coles.
So we're joined with the winner of the West Division's Player of the Season, Ben Hardcastle. Congratulations, first of all. Thoughts on winning the award, first of all?
Thank you, mate. It means a lot.
So you won it, obviously, first time in this division yourself, is it? Or have you been
Second year with Coles,
and at the same time,
obviously, you're in the title fight at this moment in time. What does the award mean to you, first of all, and obviously the title fight in general?
Well, that's it. The award's massive. I mean, it's one of them. It's cliche, but it's not. It says my name, but it's the lads and the
the gaffer and the coaching staff that have helped me get to this award. And in terms of the promotion race, it's, again, that's even bigger. 5 games to go, we win our games, and we win the league. That's all we're focused on at the minute.
I'm guessing no thoughts on the playoffs, just in case at the moment.
Well, no, we're not thinking about that. We want to win the league. And like I said, it's in our hands, so hopefully we get them 5 games and then it's ours.
Ben Hardcastle there from Atherton Colls. Very brief that, James. Were you on the way to the bar? What was going on there?
There's nothing wrong with a bar, but again, just I think he was more interested in the night after, because I've in Colby's once I went to the Atherton Newcastle game the other night. Atherton looked a very dangerous side, and they can secure a playoff spot this coming weekend as well.
A big good luck to them in that regard. But staying with the West, and it wasn't just the grown-ups winning awards. There was also Young Player of the Year awards being dished out, and a winner of Young Player of the Year for Division West was Alex Curran from Colne, and James caught up with him shortly after receiving his award.
So, John, once again for the second year in a row, with Alex Curran, winner of the Young Player of the Year, and in the team of the year at the same time. First of all, congratulations. Getting used to this now, aren't you?
Yeah, I think on the way with Cunny and my mum and dad, and that, we're quite surprised, to be fair, because especially a little club like Colne, like to win it 2 years in a row, it's quite a, not just for me, but for the club itself, it's quite a big achievement. So I'm really happy with it, to be fair.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, the club's pushed a little bit for further this season as well. Yeah. As the, I know it sounds a bit harsh to say, but is the league being shrunk down a little bit, does it sound a little bit tougher for you this year at all, or would you disagree?
I think so, yeah. I think in terms of goals and stuff, I've been slightly below where I was this time last year. Yeah. But I think we're similar league position as in terms of clubs, but slightly, I think we're about 3 points off playoffs now, so hopefully we'll catch, I think it's league who's just in front of us, so hopefully we'll catch them up, but we'll have to see.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you've said it there with the quality being a little bit stronger this year, but and again, you've always said there with the playoff race, Colne did it, managed to just miss out last year by the skin, but one better, but all similar again.
I think we'll make it this year. I think we've got 7 games left now. I think we brought some real quality into the team this year, so I think we should make it. I mean, last year it came down to the last game of the season, and I think it was a goal difference that stopped us from getting into the playoffs. So it was gutting, really, but hopefully this year we'll make it,
Alex Curran there, winner of Young Player of the Year award, winning it twice. When's he going to win the senior one then, James? When's that going to happen?
It's not far off, obviously.
Don't add to that. You don't have to add to that. Let's hear now from more award winners. A big congratulations as well to the Premier Division's Young Player of the Year. That went the way of Nantwich striker Joe Malkin, who James didn't catch up with. Poor James. Very poor. There's no career at Sky News for you, my friend. The winner in the East Division was Belper Town's midfielder Patel Cruz. But the big award was for the MPL show Supporters Player of the Year, James. Who did it go to? And more importantly, did you get an interview?
I got the interview, yeah. Do you want me to do the top three?
Yeah, do the top three. Go on.
Yeah. So on the night, third place from Bamber Bridge was Alistair Wadaker. Yeah. Second place from Tadcaster Albion was Joe Lumsden. But the winner from Arracliffe FC was Tunde Olawabi.
Whoa. From where?
Radcliffe.
Can't believe this. Congratulations to Tunde, and James was there to interview Tunde shortly
there
after he won the award. Let's hear now from Tunde.
I'm happy. I didn't expect to win it, to be fair, you know, so I'm a bit shocked. Still waiting for it to sink in, but it's been an amazing season for me. My teammates have been incredible, the management team as well, so I wouldn't be able to win without them, so I really do appreciate them for that.
I mean, obviously huge part of Radcliffe's revival, people say it for this season, coming from relegation to the top of the table and potentially the title. Going forward, thoughts of that situation at this moment in time?
You mean for the title? Every game is massive now, you know. We put ourselves in a really massive position. Yeah. You know, we're first. Coastal have a game in hand. But, you know, every game, we want to try to win every game for the end of the season and put pressure back on them. You know, we have quality lads. We are enjoying football, you know, and any challenge that comes, you know, above us or towards us, we're gonna relish it and try to win every game. As a football player, you want to win, no matter how difficult the game is. Yeah. And that's the mentality that we have.
And then finally as well, Mr. Chris Almond at this moment in time is watching over his shoulder for the Golden Boot. Is that your own personal target, would you say, now, or is it more focusing on the title?
Yeah, I'm trying. You know, I'm trying. The Golden Boot is a target for me, but, you know, at the end of the day, if I don't win it, it's been an amazing season for me personally, and I'm just trying to enjoy every minute of the last four games of the season and see. The target for me is more to help Bracken win promotion. That would be amazing for me and the team. So, yeah, that's...
Tunde Owolabi there, winner of the NPL Show Supporters Player of the Year. Big congratulations to Tunde. Big congratulations to everyone. All the journalists as well, and broadcasters and club officials who put together the shortlist. And thank you to everyone who voted, and well done to everyone who made the top three, and especially to Tunde for winning it. And great interview there, James, as well. Superb stuff. Is that all the interviews, or is there someone else?
I got the academy player year, which was Sheldon Barrington of Radcliffe FC as well.
Sheldon Barrington, winner of the academy player of the year. First of all, congratulations. Thoughts on winning the award?
To be honest, I was speechless. To be honest, I didn't think I'd worked hard enough to actually get it, but then I thought, obviously, I'm scoring my goals, I'm doing my deed, helping my teammates out. So when I got it, I was very surprised, because there's players in there that I thought could have won it. But I'm speechless. I'm happy that I've got it. I'm happy.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, you've been part of the academy now, which is running for the 4 years going. And you've been academy's running for 4 years now, and you've joined it. Is this your first year or second year?
It's my last year now.
Second year. And obviously, you've had some first team appearances for Radcliffe as well, mainly County Cups and the Integro. Yeah. However, how's the pathway from the academy to the first team house at this moment?
Like I say, I've signed papers. I've been injured for a bit. I could have had my chance a few months ago, but as I say, I've been injured properly with my hip flex, so it's been hard. But I've been playing back now, scoring goals. Like my last game, I just played against Loughborough, come back, first game back, and scored four. So that shows that I'm back in the game, and I'm ready to go into the first team and progress more.
Yeah, and obviously you've just said there, progressing for this first team. As playing with the academy this year, and I'm guessing you've been training with the first team as well, has that benefited yourself as a career, would you say, especially with how the NPL's worked? So the NPL academy,
it's helped massive a lot. If it weren't for NPL, I wouldn't really be in this position to get to semi-professional or to get higher than semi-professional. So this has kind of helped me at what I could do to prove my ability and what I'm capable of doing.
Yeah. Shelton Barrington there, winner of Academy Player of the Year. James, anyone else?
Yeah, and once we start, a young player in... No, you've got them all, Ben.
Got them all. Yay! Well done, everyone. Thanks for playing. So congratulations to all the award winners, and a big congratulations to everyone associated with the Northern Premier League. It's one of them rare things, and I think we all take it for granted, the Players Awards night, but it's a fantastic event, and well put on, and... a big well done to everyone. It's great when you attend it, and you can tell all the players and management and chairman all appreciate it. And and well done to you, James, for organising it all and filming it on the night as well. I did catch up with some of it on Facebook.
Quick apologies to those who saw the first part of the stream. We did have a few issues early on, but we are still...
There were great goals, James. Anyway, is that what you're referring to? The bit that...
We lost a little bit of the footage during the night, but we have recovered a little bit of it. So keep your eye on the social media in the next couple of days. We'll try and get the winners' videos back on for you as soon as we can.
Excellent stuff. Well, James Hayes from the Northern Premier League, a big thank you for joining us. You keep up the excellent work, and we'll be speaking to you next week, my friend. A big thank you to James Hayes for joining us this week, but it's now time for our fixture preview for this weekend's matches. Three big matches involving the title race: Grantham Town against Farnsley Celtic, South Shields against Batesford United, and one that combines the playoff race as well, Warrington Town against Scarborough Athletic. Joining me now to go through those matches, as well as all the others taking place up at the top end and the bottom end of the NPL Premier Division this weekend, we're now joined by the welcome return of the lovely Mr. Thomas Fina. Hello, Tom. How are you?
I'm not too bad, thank you, mate. How are you?
I'm all good. I'm all good. So first up, Farsley travelling to Grantham. Grantham, more or less safe. More or less, they're getting there, aren't they? That poses a bit of a danger to Farsley Celtic because Grantham, the weight is slowly being lifted off their shoulders, which means he can play a bit more.
Yeah, there's no pressure on Grantham, and you'd say that loss by Stafford to Farsley in midweek has helped Grantham a little bit more as well. And it's that thing of three games unbeaten, two draws and a win. They've just slowly but surely picked the points up there. You know, you'd say now they're safe, minus, you know, them going on a horrible run and the likes of Bamber Bridge going on a magnificent one. So it is that thing of now we are entering that season where we've got teams with a lot on the line and a lot to play for. With teams that maybe are playing, you know, with that bit of freedom, players though playing for their futures for next season to see if they can stay with the club. So still something on the lines for the players. But, you know, you look at Grantham, they've done their hard work in the sense of the last three games. And really, they can enjoy that game against Farsley, with Farsley knowing, obviously, there's so much on the line in that game.
Now, that can't be said, though, for the other two matches involving the title contenders. South Shields taking on Basford United. Basford United, 5 points from the playoffs. It's not completely out of the question that they could get there. They are running out of games, but stranger things have happened. Warrington, though, taking on a team firmly in playoff contention now, Scarborough Athletic. Firstly, let's talk about the Scarborough match, because obviously they've got a new manager, and by all accounts, it looks like a bit of a masterstroke from Scarborough.
Yeah, I think, you know, John Deasy, when I heard he was getting the job, you know, in terms of what the criteria Scarborough were after, he ticks every box. He's got a lot of experience in the Avo stick. He has that experience in the National League North as well, you know, if Scarborough were to gain promotion this season and next. So, I mean, it is just a very shrewd appointment. And I think, you know, John Deasy's first game in charge, they win. Results elsewhere go their way. And all of a sudden, they've gone from 6 points to 3 points off them playoff places and are firmly in that battle now. So, you know, I think John Deasy, you know, if we're being honest, he's been brought in to really assess the squad, see what's there for next season. But all of a sudden, do you know what? They're going to look at them playoff places and they know one good result and a few results elsewhere going the way, and all of a sudden, they could be in them playoff places. So it's an absolutely remarkable turnaround, you know, to say it's after one game, they have gone from very much being outsiders for the playoffs to having a real chance. And, you know, for Warrington, you'd say that this is absolute must-win, because if they fall to within needing two results to get that top spot, which, you know, at the moment, that's where they are. If they get to that thing where they need even more than that, obviously, then they really are going to just have to settle for the playoff places, because I think Warrington right now must be just holding on to that little bit of hope that all it takes is a couple of slip-ups by Farsley, you know, a couple of draws and one or two by South Shields as well, and Warrington have that chance. So I think for Warrington, it's just a case of doing all they can, and, you know, they'll just have to hope that Farsley and South Shields drop points along the way, but it's going to be a fascinating end to the season.
Absolutely. And as we said, South Shields against Basford United, that's a toughie. But that could be a bit of a knockout blow for Basford United, assuming Gainsborough Trinity and Buxton and maybe even Scarborough get some points. That would make it a bit more difficult for Basford United if they're beaten by South Shields at Mariners Park, which, given the form of South Shields this season at home, they surely go into that one as favourites, but stranger things have happened. We talked about Gainsborough there. Let's combine the playoffs with the bottom of the table. I think if, based on what James tells me, and James does get things wrong occasionally, dear listener, Workington can be relegated this weekend if certain results go a certain way. That's not going to happen if Workington beat Gainsborough, though. It's a tall ask for them. It's a tall ask. It's do or die, though, now, isn't it?
Yeah, it's an absolutely massive day for Workington. And I think, you know, it's that whole thing of when you were looking at that bottom of the table, to me, it always felt like it'd be Mickle over Bamber Bridge, Workington. It'd be then, you know, it'd be 3-2. And obviously, Mickle over have just gone on this really good run of form. That win against Workington, for me, that felt like the knockout blow. If Workington had been able to win that game, obviously then you've got the 6-point swing. They wouldn't be that far from getting out of it. And, again, it's a real tough ask for them to be facing a Gainsborough side who quite simply know that they've got to win every game to the end of the season to get that playoff place. So, I mean, it's another fascinating game. And, you know, you just look at Workington, it feels to me, even if they were to gain victory over Gainsborough, they probably have got a little bit too much to do, just in the sense of Mikulova have picked up form. And, you know, it'd be a shame because Workington, you know, the cup runs they've been on in the last few years, I think this year it seemed to just knock them off the stride a little bit. So, you know, it'll be a real tough ask for them. But, you know, you want to stay in the league. They've got to get the results and they've got to pick up that 3 points against Gainsborough.
Absolutely. I'm just working this out. 45 points is currently the maximum that Bamber Bridge can get. And therefore, there's some teams in mid-table land who aren't quite there yet, but are almost there. Marine's not one of them. Marine are a few points off getting towards 45. They are 5 points clear, though, of the relegation places at the moment. Marine this weekend will be hosting Buxton. And, well, it's the same thing as apply, doesn't it, really? But what we just said about Gainsborough and Scarborough, Buxton are in the playoff race. You've got to keep winning.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the thing for Buxton is, obviously, with what happened with the North Ferriby situation, it gave Buxton that boost to move up the table and to be in them playoff places. And then within one result later, obviously, it just didn't go the way, losing that match, Gainsborough gaining the victory, and the swing happened once again. So I think that's it. You know, it really is that point of the season where these teams are just having a 100% focus on themselves, because if any of these teams go, right, do you know what, we'll have a look at what Gainsborough are doing, we'll have a look at what Scarborough are doing. You know, Buxton, if they take their eye off their own results, all of a sudden they'll find themselves, you know, dropping down the table even, you know, and it is just going to be, for me, it's too close to call who's going to get that fifth place, because I thought it would be Gainsborough or Buxton. Then when Scarborough won, it was like, well, they could. And obviously, you know, Baysford, we've kind of, in a way, we've made them, you know, kind of like they've got an outside chance. But if they win at the weekend and results go their way, they could be 2 points off the playoff places. So, I mean, it's just, it's absolutely incredible how tight this is all going to be by the end of it.
Absolutely. And let's just talk about we talked about Workington. Let's talk about the other relegation spot. That's currently held by Bamber Bridge. Bamber Bridge travelling to Ewan Fields this weekend to take on Hyde United. Meanwhile, Mikulova Sports, and what a great result that was last weekend against Nantwich Town for Mikulova. The 4-point gap is there between Bamber Bridge and Mikulova Sports. Mikulova Sports taking on Lancaster City. That's at home, though, and the home form for Mikulova hasn't been the best this season compared to the away form's been a little bit better.
Yeah, I think the only thing with Mikulova is when you look at, you know, a result that can really gain them that bit of confidence, that bit of momentum, to do what they've done in the last few games, you know, to go to Nantwich and to win, and then to pick up a hard-fought draw against Witton Albion, you know, at home, I think it surely must just give them a boost. And I know that they've been announcing, you know, managers signed a new deal till the end of next season. They're putting things in place for next season already. So I feel that confidence is certainly grown within Mikulova. And again, it's this whole thing, you know, for Bamber Bridge, I don't think anyone would have seen them going on the run of form they've been on, you know, to, I know the last five games they've lost, but I think it's 9 losses in a row in all competitions. I think it's 8 in the league and 9 in a row. And it's that whole thing of when a team gets into that run of form where they literally can't buy a point, they can't get a win, you know, it's very difficult to get out of that. So it's I think for Mikulova, they can't be presuming that Bamber Bridge won't gain another point, because, you know, I think the moment you do that, Bamber Bridge will start picking up the results. But it's going to be a real tough game for Bamber Bridge against a Hyde United team who have that pressure off. You know, I'd say they're probably, you know, they've run out of games now in terms of getting into the playoffs, but they'll certainly be aiming for, you know, to be maintaining a top 10 finish. And the home form hasn't been too bad. And I think, you know, Darren Kelly will be more doing that thing now where he can assess players and he can say, right, you know, this group can stay next season. This group have got more work to do. So it's certainly not going to be an easy game for Bamber Bridge.
Absolutely. And what you just said there about Darren Kelly, you could add that to to Dave Frecklington and Cal McCauley, Matlock against Witten Albion. As we said, Matlock just need a point, really, in all fairness, to secure their NPL status for next season. But they're more or less there already, really. For Witten, Witten must be ruining a few results early in the season. They're only 8 points from the playoffs at the moment. If certain results went a certain way, that would be a lot closer. I know that's stating the bleeding obvious, but it's worth saying. Hensford Town against Stalybridge Celtic. Stalybridge Celtic aren't completely away from the relegation zone, but as the weeks go by, that becomes more certain for them. Stalybridge Celtic currently sitting 6 points above Bamber Bridge. And finally, it is finally, isn't it? I don't think there's anything left. Yes. And finally, Whitby Town against Stafford Rangers. And what we said about Michelob Sports applies to Stafford Rangers because they're on the same number of points. Admittedly, though, Stafford do have a game in hand.
Yeah, a game in hand. And I think the big thing for Stafford as well is the way that they pushed Farsley Celtic in midweek. You know, they were really unlucky not to actually get a point in that game. It was one of those where the goalkeeper throws the ball out, doesn't realise the striker's behind him. The striker nips it off the keeper and then there's a goal from that. And you know, if that didn't happen, it really did look like Stafford were going to be able to get that point there. So I think they can certainly gain something from that performance. I know the result didn't go the way. And obviously it should be a good turnout as well with Whitby doing a pay on the day, pay what you want for that game as well. So it's another one for Whitby where, you know, kind of they can just start building now for next season. I think that's a good idea by the club now to try and get some, you know, some more fans through the gate and to really have a look at what they can be watching next season.
Absolutely. And with the news last week about Chris Hardy staying on as well, Whitby have got time to think about the future. And we had Chris on last week and that's exactly what they're doing. But Tom, speaking of the future, where are you off to this weekend and how could people keep abreast of everything that's going on in your world, non-league journalism-wise, from Yorkshire?
Well, I tell you this weekend, I'm at Guiseley v Ashton United. And
Come on, Ashton. You can do it. Sorry, Tom.
I was going to say, I think one or both might be in the Evastic Premier next season. We'll have to wait and see. But it's an absolutely crucial six-pointer for both teams. And obviously, a certain club in Manchester will be having an eye on that as well.
No, got our own problems. We'll be concentrating on our own thing. Anyway, thank you, Thomas Feeney, for joining us on this week's show. How can people keep abreast of your work before you go?
Well, if you want to give me a follow on social media on Twitter, that's at Thomas Feeney. I will bore you with loads of stats of non-league in Yorkshire.
And a big thank you to Thomas Feeney for joining us on this week's show. That is it for this week's EvoStick NPL show. A big thank you to all my guests this week for joining me. Also, a special thanks to James for doing all those interviews at the Player Awards on Sunday. And a big congratulations to everyone who won an award and everyone who was nominated, of course. Remember, you can keep up to date with all the latest goings-on from the world of the Northern Premier League by visiting the website evostickleague.co.uk. You can also follow this show on Twitter. That's at NPL Show. But I've been Ben, and wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your EvoStick Northern Premier League side, make sure that you have fun. Bye-bye.
Fantastic adhesive this stick's like. From EvoStick.
Yeah, it's incredibly strong.
And it even works on wet surfaces. Pretty impressive.
Did I tell you my lad's playing in the EvoStick League this year?
The EvoStick League?
Yeah, EvoStick are the new sponsors of the Northern Premier League.
What position does your lad play?
Goalie.
You'd better put some sticks like on his gloves then.
Especially when it's wet.
Sticks like adhesive from EvoStick. Proud sponsors of the EvoStick League. For details of your nearest stockist, search the App Store on your iPhone for the new EvoStick app.